When your parents split up, it's a tough time for everyone involved. Some people handle it better than others. It may even get worse when your parent starts dating after being divorced. You've spent so much time with your parents being together, and now you have to deal with a stranger being around. It's as if the stranger is trying to fully replace that parent. But what if that stranger takes away your other parent as well? I'm your host, MC, and this is episode 14 of the MCR Podcast. The last time I have told this was in court in 2003. It was a Thursday in August of 2002. I was 12 years old and had lived with my mom for the past 6 years since she and my dad got divorced. Soon after their divorce, my mom met a new man who moved in with us a few months later. Looking back, I can remember a few times where he had shown red flag behavior. Like this one evening, maybe in 1999, when me and my sisters were watching a TV show finale very late. He was drunk and came into the living room and smashed the TV with his hands. Back then, the TV screens were made of glass, so he cut his hand badly and yelled at us while it was bleeding. My mom forgave him after he probably came up with a million excuses in the following days. Anyway, in the beginning of 2002, my mom finally decided to have a break in their relationship, and me and her moved into a different apartment a few miles away to get some distance. Me, still being the naive kid who thought that she could have two dads, wasn't very excited about the idea. I already hated seeing my mom and dad split, and now I had to let go of a man I'd gotten used to over the course of all these years. I was still just a kid and ignored all the signs, and I even remember resenting my mom for leaving him. As I said, my story starts on Thursday, the 8th of August, 2002. I was in school and not feeling very well. I also noticed some type of rash on my hips, so my teacher sent me to the doctor and I was diagnosed with shingles. I still see the doctor in front of me, telling me that if the rash gets worse and goes all the way around my hip, I could potentially die. So I went home for the day and was allowed to stay home the next day, Friday the 9th, as well. On Friday morning, my mom woke me up about 20 minutes before she went to work so she could check on me, have a little breakfast with me, and bring me back to bed to make sure I'd rest. After she left, I remember lying in the bed, being relieved the rash had gotten better overnight. I suddenly heard a noise from the hallway. My room was not connected to the hallway, so I could only see into the adjacent room. And since my mom had left a couple of minutes prior, I assumed it was her, so I called for her. Seconds later, my mom's ex-boyfriend appeared in my doorframe. He started asking me what I was doing home and why I wasn't in school. After I told him that I was sick and had shingles, he immediately said to me how much he missed us kids and my mom, how sorry he was for not being there, and that he would love to talk to my mom and make things right. Since I was still unhappy about their breakup, I said stupid crap like, I missed him too, and I wanted them to get back together. I can't believe I seriously believed that at some point. After a few minutes of small talk and him pretending to care about my well-being, he made me promise not to tell my mom that he came by before he left. I obviously told her the minute she came home because I couldn't keep secrets from her, and I also just wanted her to know. And again, me being a stupid 12-year-old did not even question how he even entered the apartment without a key, without someone opening the door for him. I never in a million years would have thought that this might be illegal or inappropriate behavior. I knew that man, and he lived with us for a number of years now. The same day, just a few hours later, my dad drove me to my grandma's as I had planned weeks in advance to stay the weekend with her. I already felt much better. My mom was supposed to pick me up on Sunday, but on that morning, my mom hadn't answered her phone for about 12 hours, which was unusual. A friend of the family picked me up and drove me home. There was still no news from my mom, since there's a rule in my country that a person has to be missing for 24 hours before breaking the door to the apartment. She went missing on Saturday evening. The police was only allowed to open the apartment on Sunday evening. My sisters, my dad, and I all went inside. I grabbed all of my school supplies and went to the bathroom. After exiting the bathroom, I found my mom's dental prosthesis on the counter in the hallway. Not realizing it could potentially be evidence, I picked it up and brought it into the kitchen where my dad was sitting with the police officer. My dad later told me that as soon as he saw the prosthesis, he knew something had happened. My mom had her teeth fixed just a few months prior and would not leave the house without it. After picking up our stuff from the apartment, my dad drove us back to his house and we waited. Monday morning came and still no message from my mom. We did not go to school that Monday, but planned on returning the next day. Tuesday morning, I woke up on my own, even though Dad had said he would wake us up to take us to school. I was about to go downstairs when I saw the village priest leaving our house. Police had found my mother the night before. On Monday evening, one of my mom's neighbors went upstairs to do laundry in the attic when she noticed one of the doors being locked. No resident from the apartment building had a key to this specific room, so they had to call the landlord to open the door. I tried not to think about what they discovered, since it was the middle of summer and my mom had been dead for around 48 hours. My mom was murdered by her ex-boyfriend after he returned to the apartment on Saturday afternoon to talk. The last person my mom spoke to was my aunt. Shortly before they hung up, my mom said, "There's someone knocking at the door. It's him again. I gotta hang up. Call you later." He gained access to the apartment the same way he did on Friday, with a credit card. He was arrested only a day later in a bar after telling the barman that he had done something really stupid. 8 months later, in April of the following year, me and my older sister had to testify in the murder trial. But before we gave our testimony, our father argued with the court and made sure that we didn't have to face the killer. I remember sitting down in a large and very cold room. My father was right by my side, holding my hand. The lawyers were to my right and left, and the judge was in front of me. I remember being asked about the day he came into our apartment and answering all the questions as truthfully as I could. They sentenced him to 9 years in prison. Manslaughter in effect was the official cause. 7 of those 9 years he spent behind bars, and as far as I know, he moved back close to our hometown, close to where it all happened. Over the years, people have told me that I was lucky because he could have killed my mom and me. If she had still been at home that day, if she had just left just a few minutes later, maybe she would have run into him downstairs. There's a lot of ifs and could haves. I know I won't be able to change the past, but I sure hope I can control my future. If you or anyone you know have a horror story that you'd like to be narrated on here, please fill out the form that's linked in the description below. There are also links to the music used, as well as if you want to submit some feedback to help improve your listening experience. My friends, horror is all around us. We just try our best to avoid it. Once again, I'm your host, MC, signing out. Thanks for taking the time to check out MC Horror Podcast. Have a great night.